Welcome to the Westwood Church Podcast. I'm Molly Vetter, the senior pastor at Westwood. I'm glad you've chosen to listen in to this sermon from our sanctuary. Please know, you're always welcome to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 10. Our sanctuary is a sacred, stained glass lit space. There, prayers, pipe organ, and choir mark sacred time when we get to refocus our lives around the gift of God's radical, inclusive love. We're a church committed to justice, kindness, and walking humbly with God. So thank you for listening in today. We encourage you to share and subscribe to the podcast, and also invite you to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Most of all, we encourage you to join us in the living out of our faith for the sake of God's love. I am Molly Vetter, the senior pastor of this church, and this morning we want to celebrate and honor Reverend Kathy Cannon. Kathy, you have to come down here so we can watch you blush as we say nice things about you, and so that you can see our faces as we do so. Reverend Kathy Cannon has been on our staff two times over many years and is involved in lots of parts of the church's ministry, including and especially our administration, but also has had the opportunity to live out her great calling for ministry with young people through being the director of children and family ministries here at the church. And we are preparing to say farewell to her. We've had some time to get ourselves ready because she has graciously agreed to continue on our staff through the end of this year, even though she'd originally expressed an intention to retire much earlier. I want you to know my gratitude for your willingness to stick with us through this season. It's been a tremendous gift to me as I've come to this church this the second half of this year, your willingness to step into any gap, your great knowledge of what's going on, and your gracious spirit of leadership have been a tremendous gift. But she's meant more to some of you because you've known her even longer. And so there's some representatives from our staff parish relations committee and Dina Edwards and some of our children who have some words to share. Dina, can I call on you first and the young people who've come with you? Come on in, kids. You can come up here so we can see you all also.
Yeah. This is a gift that we are making for you, Pastor Kathy. Thank you, Reverend Kathy Cannon, for sharing God's love with us as you have been faithful to God's call on your life. We are grateful for your love and leadership. Thank you for all the ways you've helped us grow in faith. Westwood United Methodist Church. And this is
their fingerprints.
This is the fingerprints of the children and the workers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
We have a couple of... Come on up. This is short. We won't embarrass you too much.
You already embarrassed me when you put it in the program.
All right.
If you come right here with your dad, and you can look at Miss Kathy if you want to. Would you like to turn around? Either way. Okay, that's good.
Yes. You can do it. Stand up. Be brave.
I've courage.
Don't read the first line then.
Okay.
Just read the rest.
Oh, or if you want to read it
for me. Okay. So, why don't I read the first line and then you can read the rest, okay? Let's get started. It's like when we're reading at home. Okay. So Elliot wrote this. Why do I love Pastor Kathy?
Pastor Kathy is kind and she loves me and my sister Charlotte. She smiles and sometimes makes jokes when she sees us. Her jokes have really good punchlines. Yeah. She is happy to see all the kids, and she wants us to feel, she makes us feel excited and glad. She wants us to be kind, and she teaches us to be kind even when it is hard. I love Pastor Kathy.
This is Nora Mills.
Pastor Kathy, whenever I see you, I feel happy because you always have such a big smile for me. Thank you for being a great pastor to me and the whole church. You are great at hugging.
I've been with Kathy from when she was first here, when she left, and now when she's leaving again. Okay. Kathy has not only been a truly inspiring mentor, but also has this amazing and funny personality that really got me to open up when I was little and still to this day. Kathy not only made me believe in God and the church when I was still in Sunday school, but I truly believe my involvement in our church is all because of her. When our entire youth program was falling over itself, I and a few others were, to be blunt, left on the sidelines or just skipping church. Kathy brought us back in. She's been an amazing mentor, pastor, boss, and friend for as long as I can remember. Thank you, Kathy. We love you and we'll miss you so much.
I have a beautiful color-coordinated bookshelf at home full of parenting and self-help books, most of which I've never read. I'm just too busy living my life. I bought the books over the last 20 years because I need help making sense of this crazy world and to be a better parent. Sorry. Tissue? I have a tissue. Okay. But what I've found that's helped me much more than the promise of the content in the rainbow-colored books is Kathy. When I'm troubled, I talk to Kathy and she shares insights and perspectives and advice that helps me make sense of really odd behavior. When I lost my job, Kathy was the first person I called and she gave me instant hope and helped me get through a very difficult time in my life with grace and with confidence. When I have questions about supporting friends in hospice care, she expertly guided me. When I question my parenting skills, she provides positive reinforcement and nurturing. When I'm feeling down, she makes me laugh. She's been the bridge for me between real life issues and my Christian faith. And of course, she's had a very positive impact on my girls. For all of this and what you do for our community, I express deep gratitude, Kathy. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for crying.
Kids, will you come stand over here so you can watch a couple more people say nice things? And you guys can come in. A couple more people are going to say nice things about Kathy, and then we're going to end with a prayer, and I want you to be close by for that prayer.
Fabulous. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you to everybody here. My name is Kenny Cruz, and I've had the privilege of serving as chair of SPRC. It's not a radio station. Staff Parish Relations Committee. And it's the committee that is the liaison between congregation and members of the clergy and other staff members. And I want to say that Kathy has been that extraordinary role model of a member of the community. As you could see here, working with you, working with kids, and working and really inspiring the youth group. And so Kathy has always been that one who has extraordinary skills and is ready to bring them in loving support of our church and our community. Other members of SPRC will add their thoughts. Oh, so thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. You'll all have a chance to share as well.
I'd like to share not only my own thoughts, but those of my family. Leo, age 22, said, "She is nice and super cool. As a youth pastor, she was more of like our friend." David, age 25, said, quote, "She was a great youth pastor. David enjoyed going to her house and the trip to Six Flags, which was near your house. He said, and I quote, 'We had a lot of really good youth pastors, and they were really great, but Kathy was the best one.'" Paul, who hails from the Catholic Church, said, quote, "Kathy influenced me to want to come to the United Methodist Church. She is generous, down to earth, loving with the kids, made me feel welcome, made me feel like I was an important part of the community. She embodies Christian love and fellowship." And for myself, I have great admiration for you. Both as a person and as a wearer of many hats, I've always been impressed by the amount of things that you can juggle and the things that you can accomplish in limited periods of time, and it's almost miraculous. Between party planning and coordinating volunteers for events, managing church budgets and finances, construction projects, supervising staff, guiding our youth and our children, collaborating with the preschool, preaching, praying, and healing. And you did it all with humor and excellence. And I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Denise.
Hi, Kathy. I'm Doreen Rutter. I spend most of my time in the loft these days, but so it's very hard to summarize in a short amount of time all that you've given to this congregation over the many years that you've blessed us. I had the pleasure of seeing Kathy in action during both her stints here at Westwood, and my daughter was involved with our youth group when Kathy was here originally from 2007 to 2011. And it was a challenging group of middle students and middle school students at that time. Kathy met each one of them where they were, without judgment, just enveloping them with love and acceptance, as has been said by so many kids here already. But that didn't preclude tough love, and you knew how to set appropriate boundaries. After you returned to Westwood in 2016, I reached out to you when our daughter was in need, expecting only prayers and telephone calls. I was so moved when you drove a very significant distance to visit and support her. I think this so succinctly sums up Kathy's care for and devotion to our children. And Kathy, I will always be grateful for your positive presence in our family and our church. And thank you for all you've given us.
I'm Martin Klaius, and in addition to being on the SPRC, I'm also on the board of the Wesley Foundation. And after you came back in 2016 in your administrative role, you helped the Wesley Foundation very much in the transition from being helped organized by the annual conference in to becoming a ministry of Westwood, and helping us with various things like financial and payroll management together with Keith Price. And just on a personal note, being your liaison from the SPRC, I really very much enjoyed the interaction with you, occasional lunches together. Thank you for all you have done.
Will you come stand here, Kathy? And kids, can you come up? We're gonna pray over Kathy. You guys come join too. Everybody come. And you guys out there, if you're too far to get a hand physically touching, can you hold up your hand in blessing? Come on in.
Just put your hand on each other's shoulders. Okay?
Yeah, hands on shoulders. So everyone's touching someone who's touching Pastor Kathy. We're going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for the gift of Pastor Kathy and the love she has brought to our church, for her skills and the ways she's helped our community. We give you thanks. Bless her as she prepares to leave this church to continue to follow her call as a child of God. Amen.
As you know, I officially began being a family life pastor here in 2007, but I have about 40 years of experience in working with children and youth. And as a children's pastor, I learned a couple of things that I think are important, so I would like to share them with you this morning. One, if not the most important thing, is never, ever, ever think your Sunday school lesson or your sermon is interesting. One of the predictable things that happens when you're teaching Sunday school is at least one child will always say to you, "I've already heard this story. This is so boring." The challenge of children's ministry is to figure out how to make the stories that these children have heard every year interesting and not boring. So 2 weeks ago, we were teaching our children the story of John the Baptist, but the baby story. You know the one that we can find in the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. And although I am confident that you know this story, I am going to read it to you. Now, I don't want you to get bored, okay? Remember that. We are going to begin in verse 5. During the time when Herod ruled Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. His wife came from the family of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both good people who pleased God. They did everything the Lord commanded them to do. They always followed the Lord's instructions completely. But they had no children. Elizabeth could not have a baby, and both of them were very old. Zechariah was serving as a priest before God for his group. It was his group's time to serve. The priest always chose one priest to light the incense, and Zechariah was the one chosen at this time. So he went into the temple of the Lord to offer the incense. There was a large crowd outside praying at that time. Then on the right side of the incense table, an angel of the Lord came and stood before Zechariah. When he saw the angel, Zechariah was upset and very afraid. But the angel said to him, "Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard by God. Your wife Elizabeth will give birth to a baby boy, and you will name him John. You will be very happy, and many others will share your joy over his birth. He will be a great man for the Lord. He will never drink wine or beer. Even before he is born, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then, if you recall, about 6 months after Elizabeth conceives, the angel visits Mary and tells her she will be the mother of the Messiah. And surprisingly, right after that, in verse 39, the story of Elizabeth and her baby continue. Mary got up and went quickly to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the unborn baby inside her jumped, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, on the day we were teaching this lesson in children's church, one of our fourth grade boys spoke up and told the entire group that he had a much more interesting story. He knew more about John the Baptist. And so we stopped and waited to hear what he had to say. And he explained that when John the Baptist got older, he had his head cut off and was put on a plate. Now, I am sure that you would agree with me that that is a much more interesting story for a fourth grader than the one about the baby. And many of our children had not heard that story because, frankly, in children's church, we don't talk about mutilation and people losing their heads. At least we try to avoid as much death as we possibly can. But still later, I reflected on how we could have better captured the story we were teaching. How could we have captured the imagination of those children? So I've tried to apply what I learned in children's church to you guys. How easy is it for us to sit right where you're sitting today and think, what's she going to say today that's going to be interesting? We're in Advent. We all know what Advent means. You've all heard these stories before, and most likely you could preach some of them yourself. And you know eventually all Sundays lead to Christmas. And so I think it's easy to sit and say, yes, yes, I've heard this before. In fact, when I was writing this message at home this week, I was thinking, what in the world am I going to say about the scripture? And I know many of you would like me to say, there's nothing more, let's go, we'll go to Scattered for service, or even better, you'll take me out to brunch. But that's not what we're going to do. Because I believe every time we explore scripture, we learn something new, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child, because God will reveal that to us. I believe that what we hear is so important, but I have learned that it is the voice and the words that make the difference if we understand what we are to learn. So now I have been very ingenious, and I have woven the story of John's birth, and now we're going to talk about John as an adult. Now, the reason I did that was because I think it's important when you read about John baptizing that you realize John was connected to God before he was born. John was connected to Jesus before he was born. We have to remember that. Because, frankly, let's face it, if you met the adult John on the street, you would avoid all eye contact, and you might even cross the street. He was weird. He dressed weird. He ate weird. He yelled at people, and he called them names. Come on, guys. The image of John is in stark contrast with the image that we have about Advent and Christmas. We think about Christmas as a time of new birth and peace and love and caring. And so why would the lectionary include this story about John the Baptizer this Sunday in Advent? Because Advent is more than candle lighting and singing hymns and counting down the days till Christmas. Advent calls us into a personal and deeper relationship with God. We are called into a reconciling relationship with our neighbors and our community. We are called to evaluate ourselves, both our actions and our heart. And that's exactly what John called the people of Judea to do. John recognizes the divinity of Jesus and actually uses much of the same language that Jesus will use later when talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. John calls and sometimes he yells for people to turn away from their past life and to enter into a new life, as demonstrated by their baptism. And we know people responded to John's voice and to John's words. The Gospel of Mark tells us the whole of Judea countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. But you know, when I read that, I wonder how effective he was. Because it doesn't say everyone was baptized. It says everyone came out. And I think that's important. Because I am convinced that not all of us respond to a loud voice. I am convinced that all of us respond to different voices and different words, depending on who we are and where we are at the moment. I believe that the voice and the words make all the difference. One of the truly wonderful movies that has been released this year is called It's a Lovely Day in My Neighborhood. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it. It's the story of Mr. Rogers, of course, Fred Rogers. And of course, I was familiar with Mr. Rogers, but his show began on PBS in 1968, and I was in middle school at that time. And so I wasn't his target audience. And to be frank, I thought he was boring. But when I became a children's pastor, I realized what kind of impact he had on all of these generations of children. And so I started looking on YouTube and on old PBS repeats. I wanted to understand what his technique was. How did he get those children to watch a show where he took a sweater and put it on and off and had a little king hand puppet? I didn't understand that. But I realized after watching his shows that Mr. Rogers' voice and Mr. Rogers' words were important. He didn't hurry. He wasn't urgent. He didn't yell. But he taught the wisdom of God every week. If you take the time to read his quotes, They are simply the teachings of the Bible put in kids' speak. This is logical, of course, because I'm sure most of you know he was an ordained pastor. So I found four quotes that I want to leave you with. One, we live in a world in which we need to share responsibility. It's easy to say, it's not my child, it's not my community, it's not my world, it's not my problem. Then there are those who see the need and respond. I consider those people my heroes. And the next one. Forgiveness is a strange thing. It can sometimes be easier to forgive our enemies than our friends. It can be hardest of all to forgive those that we love. Like all of life's important coping skills, the ability to forgive and the capacity to let go of the resentments most likely take root very early in our lives. And then the last one I want to read. I believe that at the center of the universe, there dwells a loving spirit who longs for all that's best for all of creation. A spirit who knows the great potential of each planet as well as each person. And little by little, will love us into being more than we have ever dreamed possible. That loving spirit would rather die than give up on any one of us. Now, whether it's the yelling voice of John the Baptist, calling us into a new and renewed communion with God, or it's the soft voice of Mr. Rogers, encouraging us to see God in the everyday events of our world. I have learned that it is our voices and our words, all of ours, that make all the difference to our families, to our friends, to our community here at Westwood. I have learned to speak authentically and honest. I have learned to choose my words carefully and kindly. And I have learned whatever you're going to do, have the courage to do it. So thank you for the opportunity of serving this community. Thank you. Amen.